It's time to take 10 minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Sukkot, all together now. Rabbi Yaakov Meidan, Yeshivat Har Tzion, one of my Rebbeim, my teachers, had a remarkable theory. And that is that when we say that there are 70 cows that are brought on Sukkot, and the 70 cows, as the Gemara says, are brought corresponding to the 70 nations, and we know that the Jewish people also have 70 nations, Yatzev Gulot Amin Lispar B'nei Yisrael. We say in the Torah reading, we'll be reading later in Sukkot, Sukkot Torah, we say that the number of the number of nations in the world corresponds to the number of Jews. What do you mean? Well, there were 70 nations described in the Parshas Noah after the flood, and those are the official 70 nations. Then there are the official 70 Jews. Those are the 70 Jews who came out of Egypt into Egypt from Canaan, from the land of Israel. Okay, so this is a correspondence. Comes Rav Meidan and says, no, there's something else. When we talk about 70 elders, why do you have 70 elders? If you want to have a Congress of some sort, a Sanhedrin, a high court, why 70? 70 elders, Moses gathered 70 elders, why 70? So he says, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, it talks about Mishpachat HaLivni, Mishpachat HaShimri, Mishpachat HaShamroni. There's different Mishpachot, different families that are mentioned as part of the census of the half million Jews. If you count up the Mishpachot, there are 70 Mishpachot. Only Rabbi Dan counted it up. There are 70 Mishpachot, and when we say that there are 70 elders, they represent the 70 Mishpachot of Israel. They represent 70 families of Israel. Then Rabbi Dan goes a step further. He says, when on the first day you have 13 bulls, 13 cows, and then on the second day you have 12, and it goes down to 7 cows on the last day, the bulls, it adds up to 70, like we said, the 70 nations. Why 13, 12, 11, etc.? So he says, if you look at those families and you look at the encampments of the Jews, so let's say you have to do the exact math, I don't have it all in my head, but Rav Meidan did, where let's say you have two tribes that are related, like Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven and Shimon together, they have, let's say, maybe they have 13 families. And then you put Yehuda with maybe Ephraim, and then you look at the number of families. So each day, different families approach. Just like when the Nesi'im came every day of the 12 days of dedication of the tabernacle, each day a different tribe came and represented themselves. Maybe the Mishpachot came, 70 Mishpachot. They came each day, and they brought these 70 70 cows, and each cow is represented by a family of the Jewish people, a family from Reuven, family from Shimon. The last one I recall was Dan and Shimon together. And together, you could imagine different combinations of tribes. You could do the math yourself. That would represent. There were five families. There were seven families on the last day, because that was Dan and Shimon. There were eight families the previous day. That represents these other tribes that together have eight families. So another notion of the families being together. I heard a thought from my cousin Leiby, Aleva Shalom Leiby Rubin, who lived in Alon Shvut, and he said that maybe the four species, the Dalet Minim, the four species, the Lulav, the Etrog, the Adasim and Aravos, the Palm, the Myrtle, the Willow, and the Citron, that those four species also represent not the different families, but the different parts of Israel. We're also trying to come together, different parts of Israel. So exactly how it works, but let's say palm trees. We know that palm trees are only going to grow in the very hot areas, and like an Eilat or something like that. Then you have the citron would grow in the fertile areas, And then the willow of the river is only, the Ivory Nach is only going to grow where there are rivers and riverlets and streams and the mountains. And then the Hadassim would grow wherever they grow. So it really represents bringing the different parts of Israel together. The, of course, there's an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that lulav tzarech, you got to bring the lulav together. You can't just bring four species. True, you could fulfill the mitzvah by you lift up a lulav, and then you lift up this and you lift up that. You could fulfill the mitzvah. However, if you the Rabbi Yehuda says you got to put them together, and we don't hold that that's true, but we do it just as a nice mitzvah, as a beautification. We do unite at least three of the species together, and we hold them all together because, as the Medrash says, we want to unite all the different types of Jews. But it's not only the lulav and the sacrifices which represent the togetherness, but also the third element, of course, the sukkah. And the Gemara says, "Ruuyin kol Yisrael leishiv b'sukkah achas," that you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah with someone else's sukkah. You don't have to have your own sukkah, because the truth is, it's fitting for all the Jews to be in one sukkah. What do you mean, Ruuyin kol Yisrael? The Jews are worthy of being in one sukkah, says Rav Kook. You know why the Jews are worthy of being in one sukkah? Because after Yom Kippur, we're worthy. Once you're worthy, then you can come together. What does that mean? When a person is all about themselves, so then, you know, you and I can't live in the same room because I have my ego, you have your ego. We're not going to get along. But if I could put my ego aside, if Yom Kippur could erase my evil inclination and I could just be a more pure soul, then all of our souls belong together. Our tribes, we belong together. That's where we're supposed to be, as one united family. This past week, we saw, you know, kinds of fighting in Yom Kippur. Couldn't be anything worse than that. Whether they were wrong for organizing it, or whether the court was wrong for deciding that they shouldn't have a machitza in the street, or whether they shouldn't have gone against the court, or whether people certainly shouldn't be protesting people davening, and whether there were people who were protesting people who didn't even have a machitza, just protesting services altogether. It's horrible. It's the opposite of what Sukkos is supposed to be. Sukkos is supposed to be people coming together, and here we are fighting with each other, fighting about judicial review and all that. Can't we get together, get intelligent people in a room together and say, look, this is our red line, this is our red line, this is what like Rav Meidan and others got together and try to figure out what we could do to sort of get along. Isn't there a way? Can't the Jewish people get along? Can't we be together? This is our question. This is our challenge for this Sukkot, particularly to try to stay all together now, because that's what the sacrifices represent, 70 families of Israel coming together for one purpose. That's what the Simchas Beis Shoeva represent. That's the Hakel, specifically on Sukkot, that we gathered once every 7 years, all the Jews, even the babies and the women, everybody together, because we wanted to be together. It represents that unity. The Lulav represents the togetherness of all different types of Jews, from the secular to the most religious. And the Sukkah represents the idea that, yes, if we could be worthy, if we could put our egos aside, we could all sit in one sukkah, and there we would bring glory to God, to ourselves, and to our families. Thank you for joining us here at the Baron Hirsch Congregation for our discussion of the holidays and the Parsha. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, and thanks to our sponsors, Dr. Joe and Cindy Weinstein. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.